What's up, y'all? Technical Foul Podcast, back at it with another episode, and we have nothing more to talk about than the NBA championship. Boston Celtics losing to the Golden State Warriors, the old Golden State Warriors, the washed Golden State Warriors, the team that many had wrote off after KD had left, the team that many had wrote off after Klay got injured, the team that many wrote off after Steph got injured, after Draymond lost his so-called touch, have won the NBA championship, reclaimed what was theirs. Amazing, amazing run by the Warriors. Amazing run by the Celtics. We'll get to that. But big shout out to my guy, Steph Curry, for winning finals MVP. His first finals MVP after winning four of those things. His first. Amazing, amazing, amazing display of basketball he showed us in the last 2 weeks. Amazing display of basketball he showed us in the last 2 months. Exceptional display of basketball he's shown us this season. From folks telling them, hey, like, who else they got? Looney ain't gonna do anything. Draymond ain't gonna do what he used to do. Klay can't move the way he used to move. He came back mid-season. And people were still doubting them. One of the best records in the league. 50 plus wins. Go through what they went through in the finals. Go through what they went through in the last 2-3 years. And then to reclaim what they have done the last 8 years as a squad. And they stuck together. And now they got this dynasty. This amazing built dynasty that was made from the NBA draft, going above the salary cap to maintain these guys, above the luxury cap to maintain these guys, to stay together, then drafting young guys like James Wiseman, who hasn't played. Jordan Poole out there. Gary Payton II. G League guys like Gary Payton II is the reason why we love watching this game. Stories like Gary Payton II is why we love watching this game. Stephen Curry winning his first finals MVP is also another reason why we enjoy watching this game. Averaged 30 plus points per game, about 6 assists, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. And now people are talking about him possibly being a top 10 player of all time. Cementing his name up there with the greatest of the great. The greatest of all time. The best of the best. In my opinion, I really think he did that after his third title, cementing that legacy. Screw the finals MVPs, winning back-to-back MVPs, a unanimous MVP. The list goes on for this cat. All-star MVPs. A once-in-a-lifetime player, a generational player, Stephen Curry, leads this squad to their fourth title in the last 8 years. Andrew Wiggins. Now, when you talk basketball, we talk about the type of situation you're in, the type of area you're playing in, the role you have for that certain situation that you're playing in. Playing in Minnesota, being a first draft pick by Cleveland. Then that whole fiasco with LeBron coming back. Then getting traded to Golden State. And people still doubting you. For D'Angelo Russell. One of the most underrated trades of all time now when you look back at it to this day in the present. Andrew Wiggins showed out when it really, really, really mattered. He made me look like a fool. He made Stephen A. He made all those analytical people look like idiots, like bozos. You feel me? Averaging 18 a game, 6 rebounds, and then having the 2 best games of his career, Game 5 and Game 6, where he got 26 points, arguably could have won Finals MVP. If you really want to talk about that, we could talk about that. Statistically speaking, though, my guy Steph, that was his. That 43-point game cemented that. You feel me? But Andrew Wiggins was the X factor in the series. He put my boy Jason Tatum on clamps. Bro, Tatum was in an island on his own. Shooting 30% when guarded by Andrew Wiggins. Now, there's this tweet circulating around the internet, you know, social media, all of that good stuff, where Tatum said back in 2012, Jabari Parker, who was recently on the Celtics, got released. Jabari Parker at the time was highly recruited, you know, one of the best players in the nation. Jabari Parker better than Andrew Wiggins, quote unquote. Jason Tatum tweeted that. And I really do think Wiggins took that tweet personal. I mean, the level of intensity and the level that Wiggins played in this final series, not just this final series, but the playoffs, the entire playoffs, has been amazing. First year in the All-Star game, people were still doubting him. Comes to the playoffs, averages 20 plus throughout the playoffs. Comes to the finals, locks up the best player for the Boston Celtics. Guards those bigs. Guards Rob Williams. Guards Al Horford. Now, I know Al's aging, but to take on those challenges and to hear all the things that he's heard in the last 5 years, and then to come out in the biggest stage of all time and then show out and tell us, shut your pie hole. Bro, like, as a basketball fan, you love seeing that. But also as a person who heavily criticized Andrew Wiggins throughout his career, you love and hate it because it's like, oh, what was I thinking? What was I saying? You know? And I was one of those guys. I was one of those guys who was all about the eye test. And I'm sure many of you guys are out there. But at least I'm able to acknowledge the BS I said in the past about Mr. Wiggins. The Golden State Warriors had Draymond Green talking hefty. Post-game podcasts, hefty. You know, like, by the way, this is one of the best podcasts I've heard in the last, I want to say, month and a half or so. High Key, one of my favorite pods to listen to. You know, to continuously go out there and hear the FUs and then play like complete garbage. And then to come out game 5 and game 6 and play your best basketball as a guy that's, you know, hated out in Boston, you know, on that floor, to come out and play your best basketball and to display that that speaks volumes. That shows you that's the type of player that Draymond was. He showed it those last two games of the finals. The defensive intensity. He was quiet. He let his game talk. And the beautiful thing about that, about basketball, about sports in general, is when you let your game talk, people start appreciating that. But when you out there and you talking and you're not, your game's not backing that up, that's when people start talking. And that's when people start criticizing. And that's when people start not appreciating you. They start, for lack of better terms, hating you. But that's also the beautiful thing about basketball and the beautiful thing about sports. Because once you get those haters, you get that motivation. You feel me? And I think Draymond used all those stuff being said by the media and put it to, quote unquote, the new media, which is guys like him being able to talk about the game to advantage. He was quiet. He let his game talk. From game four to game six, Draymond let his game talk. Draymond showed us why he is the best role player in the league. Now, I'm not saying that in a disrespectful manner, but he's easily the best player at go out there and do your job and you'll see the results. Go out there and play defense and you'll see the results. Go out there and shut your pie hole and you'll see the results. So big shout out to Draymond. Big shout out to Steph. Big shout out to Klay. Game six, Klay. My guy, Klay. Yesterday when they won, it marked 1,019, almost 1,000, almost 1,100 days since tore his ACL. Then hurt his Achilles when he was coming back. But to go through the things that Klay had gone through and then to come back, after all that, after almost 3 years out, and a comeback on the biggest stage, losing in the finals to the Toronto Raptors in 2019, missing 2020, missing 2021 due to injury, and then to come back and win it in game six, the game you hurt yourself in 2019, that's amazing. That's magical. That's inspirational. You feel me? So big ups to the Warriors. And, you know, like, who knows? Maybe they get it next year. I mean, they got a key guy that no one really, really wants to talk about in James Wiseman, who I think is going to be one of the most underrated bigs coming into the league, like, this coming season. He's young. But he's also got a lot of guys with a lot of experiences around him. And that sets you up for success. A lot of success. So, again, congrats to the guys in blue and yellow. Big ups to them. Big ups to my guy, Stefan, finally getting his finals MVP. But real talk, I really want to talk about these guys real quick before I leave. Boston, what's next for y'all, huh? In the beginning of the year, it was tough watching those guys. I remember first game of the season, getting smacked by Toronto, 20 points. You know, as a fan of the game, I'm going to speak to you guys as a fan of the game and as a fan of the Celtics. It's the most stressing thing to go through. To watch these guys go through a roller coaster season, get over that hump, after All-Star break, become the best team after All-Star break, go through what I believe is the hardest path to get into the finals by beating Brooklyn, KD, Kyrie, by beating Milwaukee with Giannis, by going through one of the best defenses in Miami in seven games, and then to come to the finals and say, oh, snap, we got it. We just went through all this. And to get that wake-up call from the best shooters in NBA history in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, that should be a wake-up call for Boston alone. I'm a bit disappointed in my guy Jason Tatum. Biggest stage, you become a no-show. 30% from the field, 34% from the field or whatever. That's not going to get you W's. Being passive in the fourth quarter is not going to get you W's. You're that guy. You feel me? And when you're that guy and you are the guy, you're supposed to act like that. You're not supposed to shy away from quote-unquote greatness. This is what makes people, it separates the best from the casuals. You know, not hustling back, not diving on those loose balls. It separates the best from the casuals. And Jason has a lot to learn. He's young. Big ups to my guy, Jalen. Big shout out to him. Didn't shy away. Turned the ball over every single game. Still attacked the basket. Still was able to get 25 plus. You know, Boston has a lot of talent, yes. But to stay consistent and to understand, hey, like, this is what we need to do as a team to get to where we got to this year. And to touch up on a few things is going to go a long way this summer. And if Tatum didn't hit the gym after that loss, bro, then your mental is not where it's... You say you love Mamba. You say you love Kobe. Where's that Mamba mentality? I'm sure Kobe wasn't happy with those finals losses. And he was in the gym at 4 a.m. I remember after 2008. Gym, 4 a.m. If you want to get to that and you strive on showing yourself, oh, I want to be like Mamba, I want to be like this, show it. Don't talk about it. The more you say stuff like that, you're not about it. Actions speak louder than words. Jalen, Jason, the two J's, that's all you need in Boston. Maybe a point guard who could push the ball. We'll get to that at another point. But yeah. It's your boy, LD, Technical Foul Podcast. Season's over. Our draft is coming up next week. For you folks interested in me breaking down the draft, I'll do that, but I won't do it as a whole. I'll do it from first round, and then I'll put out an episode for that. Anyways, yeah, you'll get those episodes. There's a lot of big guys, big names, Chet. You know, there's a lot of big, big names out there in the draft this year who could shake possible trades, possible big, big trades coming up. I mean, we already saw one recently with, you know, Christian Wood going to Dallas, which is not going to get finalized until draft night. So I would be surprised if there's no big trades coming up. But yeah, TFP, sub D. Peace.